Hello and welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 8, the PowerPoint lecture from the National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training. My name is Eddie Lester, here to take you through this PowerPoint lecture today. And let's go ahead and look at slide number 1. Chapter 8 is going to be cardiorespiratory fitness training. So let's go ahead and move over to slide 2. So the objectives for this chapter are to define and describe the components associated with cardiorespiratory training, describe how various physiological systems respond and adapt to cardiorespiratory training, describe the health-related benefits associated with cardiorespiratory fitness, describe current guidelines and recommendations for prescribing safe and effective cardiorespiratory exercise to apparently healthy individuals, and to perform and instruct appropriate cardiorespiratory techniques. So moving over to slide 3, cardiorespiratory fitness is going to reflect the ability of the circulatory and respiratory systems to supply oxygen-rich blood to skeletal muscles during sustained physical activity. And to read the second bullet point, cardiorespiratory fitness is vitally important to health and wellness, as well as to the ability to engage in normal activities of daily living. So specifically, they're just introducing cardiorespiratory fitness, and the main way that they describe it is the ability of the heart and lungs to deliver blood or oxygen-rich blood to skeletal muscles during any sort of exercise. So cardiorespiratory fitness doesn't necessarily have to only be like running or swimming or cycling. You know, it can be a whole plethora of different exercises, and it's judged based on off of the ability of the heart to pump oxygen-rich blood to the muscles. That's the main reason or main thing behind cardiorespiratory fitness. So moving over to slide 4, so the scientific rationale for cardiorespiratory training, they're basically discussing a little bit about why you need cardiorespiratory training and why it's so important. So to read the first bullet point, integrated cardiorespiratory training is a way of planning training programs that systematically progress clients through various stages to achieve optimal levels of physiological, physical, and performance adaptations by placing stress on the cardiorespiratory systems. And I'm sure everyone knows that there are numerous benefits to cardiorespiratory training. And typically, you know, anything from increased or decreased resting heart rate to, you know, feeling more in shape. When your clients might describe, oh, I want to get back into shape, typically what they're referring to is going to be they want to feel good when they exercise, as opposed to having exercise, you know, tax them extremely hard. They want to feel good, you know, being able to run a mile or two. But when it comes down to it, some clients also think of being in shape as like looking extremely good, which is different. So you have to clarify if they mean like they want to feel good for exercise or if they want to look good too, as far as being in shape goes. And typically it's both. But also to read the last bullet point, a lack of cardiorespiratory fitness is associated with disease and mortality, or basically it's associated with a shorter lifespan, you could say. So moving over to slide 5, cardiorespiratory fitness training, it's going to have 3 phases. You're going to have the warm-up phase, a conditioning phase, and then a cool-down phase. And let's go ahead and go over these phases. So moving over to slide 6, so the warm-up. The warm-up is going to prepare the body for physical activity, and there's going to be 2 different types of warm-up. So a specific warm-up is going to be something that's very closely related to the activity that you're going to perform. A general warm-up is just going to be a basic overall warm-up that might not be as specific to the exercise that you might partake in. So a general warm-up could just be a basic foam rolling and stretching and maybe a little bit of basic exercises to warm up the body in general. Specific is, let's say we're going to do some sort of circuit training that involves push-ups, well, then we want to do a few chest exercises that might warm us up for that specific activity that we're going to do within, you know, circuit training. Or more specific for like running, if you do some a light jog, that is a very specific warm-up for running. So moving over to slide 7, the benefits of the warm-up are going to increase heart rate and respiratory rate, increase tissue temperature, and prepare the client psychologically for exercise. So mainly when I think of benefits of a warm-up, I think it prepares the body in general to do higher levels of activity. You can't just go into a max effort, you know, jog without doing any sort of warm-up because you might reduce performance. So also they talk about the practical application of the warm-up. To read the bullet point, a cardiorespiratory portion of a warm-up should last about 5 to 10 minutes. And that's going to be super important for you guys to know for the test, is that a cardiorespiratory warm-up should last about 5 to 10 minutes. And that's at a low to moderate intensity. So just a basic, easy 5 to 10 minutes warm-up is what is required or what is recommended by NASM before a cardiorespiratory training. So it can include foam rolling and stretching as well. All right, so moving over to slide 8, the conditioning phase is our next phase. So cardiorespiratory fitness is engaged in for a variety of purposes and improves many aspects of health. And some benefits include a stronger, more efficient heart, improved ability to pump blood, reduced risk of heart disease, and lower resting heart rate. So a lot of studies have been done around cardiorespiratory training. And the reason being that they have a lot more studies around cardiovascular training or cardiorespiratory training as opposed to strength training is because it's a lot easier to hook up someone to a bunch of machines and tell them to walk or, you know, on a treadmill or run on a treadmill or cycle in place. So it's a lot easier to study cardiorespiratory training. So a lot of times it does get the majority of the benefit as far as exercise. When most people think of exercise, like, oh, well, we got to improve our cardio because that's really, really healthy for us. Lifting weights can be just as healthy, if not healthier, because you're also increasing muscle mass as you, you know, stress the heart to pump blood to muscles. So definitely as a personal trainer, you're going to want to understand that it is important to do cardiorespiratory training, but it's also important to do strength training or resistance training as well to increase muscle mass. So moving over to slide 9. The cool down is the next phase, and it's going to bring the body via a smooth transition from exercise back to a steady state of rest. And the benefits of a cool down could be possibly improved flexibility, removal of waste byproducts in the blood in those muscles that you used, minimize muscle soreness, allow the cardiorespiratory system to respond to a lower demand, avoid dizziness and fainting, and provide an emotional balance after exercise stress. Good, so moving over to the next slide, slide 10. So the cooldown, the practical application of the cooldown, also with the cooldown, you want it to be about 5 to 10 minutes. That's pretty much the main point of this slide. But to read it, for an individual performing cardiorespiratory exercise for an extended period of time, decrease the intensity of exercise and work at this lowered intensity for 5 to 10 minutes. So if you're running at 6 miles an hour on a treadmill and you ran 5 miles and you want to do a little cooldown, bring that speed maybe to 3 or 4 miles an hour, do a nice easy jog or light or faster walk, and decrease that intensity to bring the body back to in a smoother transition back to rest. And flexibility can also be a really important part of the cool down, as stretching after you work out can really benefit the length of that muscle and the ability for it to recover as blood flow can get to that muscle as well. So, also corrective stretching, specifically with runners, they do run into a lot of repetitive motions that could potentially create muscle imbalances. So doing that corrective stretching or self-myofascial release and static stretching, foam rolling and stretching, on those muscles that might become tight or are tight, can be very, very beneficial for your clients to reduce the injury, to reduce injury. All right, so moving over to slide 11. So the workout, a cardiorespiratory workout, the benefits of that would be it's going to decrease your daily fatigue, so you're going to have more energy throughout the day. It's going to decrease anxiety, decrease depression, the risk of coronary heart disease, hypertension, diabetes or risk for diabetes, cancer, osteoporosis, and obesity. Moving over to slide 12. We have some basic guidelines or general guidelines around cardiorespiratory training. And this slide is decently important to know just because they want you to know that if you do light or moderate activity, you can do that for about 150 minutes per week total, or 30 minutes a day for 5 days a week of moderate intensity activity. Or if you wanted to do less cardio, you can do 3 days a week of 25 minutes a day, or a total of 75 minutes per week of vigorous intensity, like sprinting or something that's a lot more intense, we could say. So moving over to slide 13, the way that you're going to want to program a cardiorespiratory training with your clients is based off of this FITTE factors, or what we call fit factors. And to read the bullet point, any form of training must have certain guidelines to allow for the development of a proper program. So we're going to go over these, but frequency, intensity, time, type, and enjoyment are going to be these factors. So just for me to go over them before we get into this, frequency is the number of sessions per week. Intensity is how hard you go. The time spent doing that is the time, actually like 1 hour or so. The type is the type of exercise, and enjoyment is really, you know, what do your clients enjoy that they could do cardiorespiratory training without even thinking it's actually cardiorespiratory training? Do they like tennis? Do they like playing golf? Do they like hockey, basketball? You know, they could, you can program cardiorespiratory training in things that they actually enjoy, as opposed to, hey, go run on a treadmill for 30 minutes to an hour, 3 to 4 times a week. So it's important to understand these fit factors. So let's go over them a little bit more specifically. Frequency, on the next slide, slide 14. Frequency, the number of training sessions or activity sessions for a given time frame, typically like 3 to 5 times per week. Intensity is going to be the level of demand the activity places on the body, or the basically the intensity, how hard it is. Moving over to the next slide, slide 15. The time is the length of time engaged in that activity in one session, so maybe 30 minutes to an hour, or a half hour, or an hour and a half, all that. Type is the type of activity that you do, so anything that requires the heart to pump blood at a faster rate can be a cardiorespiratory training. And enjoyment, the amount of pleasure derived from the activity. And that enjoyment one is going to be really important, because you want to try to get your clients to not really feel like they are forcing themselves to do cardiorespiratory training. You want it to be just a natural part of their daily life or their life in general. For instance, when I program cardiorespiratory training, I'm like, oh, do you play in any leagues? Do you run around with your kids? I'll sometimes say, hey, go take the kids to the park and run around with them for 30 minutes to an hour, you know, 3 to 4 times a week. And that, you know, benefits their life because they get that interaction. And also it's going to increase their cardiorespiratory fitness. So moving over to slide 16. So there's several methods for prescribing intensity. And within this, there's not really many of these that we use besides just heart rate as a personal trainer. You can use some other methods like the peak VO2 method, but typically we aren't really going to be able to measure someone's VO2 during exercise. So it's really a little bit better to stick to just that heart rate method, you know, the heart rate zones, you could say, which we'll get into. So the peak maximal heart rate method is zone training. That's what I was mentioning. You have rate of perceived exertion. Basically, how hard is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Oh, it feels like a 5. Okay, so we could go a little bit harder because we want to get you to maybe a 7. Then the talk test. The talk test can be used mainly for like clients that have or in the special populations, like hypertensive clients or pregnant clients. If they can't complete a sentence without taking a breath, then they fail the talk test. Or what I wrote down here is, if they can complete a sentence without taking a breath, they pass the talk test. So that might sound like, I went to the store and bought bananas. Okay, that's passing the talk test. Someone that's failing the talk test would be like, I went to the store and I bought bananas. Okay, you get it. Moving over to slide 17. The stage training, which I was kind of talking about, is a way that you can prescribe intensity. 3 stages is what NASM recommends, and all of these stages correlate with a phase in the OPT model. And specifically, I want you to note that for stage 3, you have to know that the heart rate percentage is going to be from 86 to about 90%. And that's specific to know potentially for that test. So, zone 1 is 65 to 75% of heart rate maximum. And how do you find heart rate maximum? Taking 220 minus your age. And then you figure out the percentage of that. So 65 to 75 for zone 1. Zone 2 is 76 to 85%. And zone 3 is 86 to about 95%. But not too typically will you be able to get your client's heart rate all the way up to 95%. Because that's really, really difficult and really, really high. And not able, they won't be able to sustain that type of intensity either. So moving over to slide 18, it goes over a little bit further about stage training. Zone 1 is going to be a heart rate of 65 to 75% with 12 to 13% of rate of perceived exertion, that's RPE. Should be able to hold a conversation during exercise within this. And clients who perform cardiorespiratory training 2 to 3 times per week will be ready for stage 2 once they can maintain a zone 1 heart rate for at least 30 minutes. So that's going to be when you know you can progress your client to zone 2, is when they can do steady state cardio for 30 minutes or more in that zone 1. All right, and then they have a little picture down below showing zone 1 and the type of workouts that you can do. So 5 to 10 minute warm up with a 30 to 60 minute workout, and then a 5 to 10 minute cool down, nice and easy. This would be good for beginning clients. So moving over to slide 19, stage 2 is going to be anywhere from about 65 to 85% of heart rate max. And that's because in zone 2, you're going to bounce from zone 1 to zone 2, almost in like a circuit or in a interval style. So to read the bullet points, for the immediate client who has built a good cardiorespiratory base, you can increase the heart rate training zones to that 65 to 85%. Focus on increasing the workload, speed, incline, and the level, and in a way that will help the client alter heart rate in and out of each zone. So if they're just walking, you can, you know, increase that incline to increase their heart rate, or decrease the incline to decrease the heart rate. And a specific thing to note is training in the heart rate in stage two improves the anaerobic threshold. So what you're really trying to do in zone two is improve the anaerobic threshold. And what that is it's the ability of the body to utilize the anaerobic system to the maximal amount. And it's basically the point from which you switch from anaerobic interval training to aerobic. And if you can hold the anaerobic threshold at a higher point, you're considered to be in better shape. And to read the last bullet point, this zone requires individuals to train near their anaerobic threshold. So when you stress the anaerobic threshold, you're potentially increasing your ability to exercise aerobically at a higher level. And that's what that anaerobic threshold is. As soon as you exercise too hard, you're going to cross that anaerobic threshold and you're going to have to use muscle glycogen to perform the activity because it's too intense. And that's where you are trying to hit in that zone 2 range, around that 80% of heart rate max. And then zone 3 is completely you cross the anaerobic threshold, but that's more for, we'll say, athletes and stuff. So moving over to stage 2 on slide 20, stage 2 is the introduction to interval training. You take about 5 to 10 minutes in a warm-up, then you're going to do 1 minute on with a 3 minute, or 1 minute in zone 2 with 3 minutes in zone 1, then back to 1 minute in zone 2, then back to 3 minutes in zone 1, and then 1 minute in zone 2 followed by a 5 to 10 minute cool down. So nice and easy. It's basically like interval training style that you really aren't exercising for too long, potentially maybe, 20 or so minutes at the most, maybe 30 minutes at the most, and it's going to stress that anaerobic threshold like I mentioned before. So moving over to slide 21, stage 3 training. So for the advanced client who has built a very good cardiorespiratory base and will use the heart rate training zones 1, 2, and 3. So the focus is on further increasing their ability to work or increasing the workload and in a way that will help the client alter their heart rate in and out of all three zones. So this is the almost like you're training for a specific sport that requires you to sprint sometimes, to jog sometimes, and to walk sometimes, almost like a soccer. This would be a good type of training for, you know, basketball or soccer, where you get a little bit of rest and you get a little bit of recovery in zone 1, but then you have to sprint back into zone 3 and increase that heart rate a lot. And this increases the capacity of energy systems needed at the power level of the OPT model. So stage 3 can be associated with power type training. So moving over to slide 22, it explains a little bit about stage 3 training. Another 5 to 10 minute warm-up. You're going to increase the workload every minute or so until you reach that zone 3 heart rate. And then you're going to drop it back into zone 2. And then move back into zone 3 one more time before going to a 5 to 10 minute cooldown. So really only 15 to maybe 20, 25 minutes of work in this stage 3. You don't want to go too long in this because you won't be able to sustain that type of activity. Moving over to slide 23, the importance of stage training. So basically what they're trying to get you to understand is that you don't just want to go throw your clients on a cardio machine and have them go, you know, all out. So to read the bullet points, simply increasing the intensity for the same type of training will not produce consistent increases in fitness levels and weight control as the body will soon adapt. So yeah, the body really only takes, with cardiorespiratory training, it really only takes about maybe 2 to 3 weeks to fully adapt to, let's say, running 3 or 4 miles. Your body adapts very quickly to cardio, so it's important to switch up that cardio training using the stages and also the equipment. And to read the second bullet point, by increasing a client's intensity through the 3 heart rate zones seen in stage 3 training, the client can take greater advantage of EPOC and help ensure greater results. What is EPOC? EPOC is excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. And that's basically stating that after you exercise, you still are breathing heavy and need to deliver oxygen to the muscles for recovery. All right, moving over to slide 24. So now they get to talk about circuit training. So circuit training is going to be almost a little bit easier for you as a personal trainer to set up for your client, because you can do strength training exercises in a circuit and call it cardiorespiratory training. So you're almost you can almost get both types of training at once with something called like cardio strength training or cardio strength circuit training. So to read this, circuit training is performing resistance training exercises one after the other with minimal rest. And this allows for comparable fitness results without spending the extended time to achieve them. So, you know, if you're going to be the trainer that stands by the treadmill and lets their client walk or run for 30 minutes, you're kind of wasting the client's the time and money, because you really want to be able to program some sort of activity that they aren't used to. And anyone can just do running or walking on a treadmill on their own time. So circuit training is going to be a really good thing to include with your clients, because it's going to achieve muscular development as well as cardiorespiratory development. So looking over at slide 25, here's a few sample programs for circuit training. So you have a ball dumbbell chest press in the stabilization phase. And basically what they're doing is you're going to do all of these exercises in a row, take a small rest, and then do it again, depending on how many rounds that you want to do. You know, if it's a brand new client, 1 to 2 rounds is probably enough. If it's a advanced client, you know, you could go 3 to 4 rounds, maybe even 5 rounds, depending on how in shape they are. And then obviously if they're a new client, you want to keep them in that stabilization. If they're looking to gain some muscle or gain some strength, you know, you can go into that strength phase. And then, or if they're looking for more of athletic ability, you can move into that power phase, depending on the client's goal. So moving over to slide 26, just to talk a little bit more about circuit training, it's just as beneficial as traditional forms of cardiorespiratory training or cardiorespiratory exercise for improving or contributing to improve fitness levels. So it's going to be just as beneficial as running on that treadmill for 30 minutes, but it's only going to take 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes at the most. And it produces greater levels of post-exercise energy expenditure, or EPOC, which is repairing muscle tissue, increases energy use and strength. So typically what I think of whenever I think of that is that when you do cardiorespiratory training, you may burn, we'll say, 300 calories in that, you know, hour-long walk that you run on or jog that you went on. But that's going to be about the total calories that you're going to burn entirely for that activity. Let's say you were to strength train for 20 minutes. You may burn about 150 calories, but for the next 2 days, your body's going to be repairing muscle tissue, and it takes calories to repair muscle tissue. So even though you only worked out for, you know, 15 to 20 minutes and you only burned 150 calories compared to the hour-long 300 calories, you're going to actually end up in the long term burning more calories from the circuit training, because you have to repair that muscle tissue. So let's say if you repair or did 20 minutes of exercise and burned 150 calories with that circuit training, over the next 2 days you may burn 300 calories repairing that muscle tissue. So the net total is going to be 450 calories burned for 20 minutes as opposed to 300 calories burned for just that, for a whole hour. So to take advantage of the time and efficiency of training, circuit training can be a very, very good alternative to just steady state cardio or cardiorespiratory training. So to read the last bullet point on slide 26, it produces near idyllic caloric expenditure for the same given time span when compared with like a fast walk or a jog. So finishing up on circuit training on slide 27, circuit training can also incorporate traditional cardiorespiratory exercise into the routine. For instance, like taking sprints or jogging and doing those in between strength training exercises. So a sample program for like a full hour of training for your client would be maybe 10 minutes of a warm-up, a 10-minute cardiorespiratory training, like a stage 1 cardiorespiratory training, then a circuit weight training in that stabilization phase, with a 10-minute cool or 10-minute cardiorespiratory training afterwards, and then a 10-minute cool down. That's going to be exactly 1 hour's worth of training, and you can actually utilize that model right there on your first clients that you get until you get more advanced and want to switch that sort of program up. So moving over to slide 28, we're just going to summarize everything. So to read the bullet points, different cardiorespiratory training programs place different demands on the bioenergetic continuum and ultimately affect the client's adaptations and goals. Stage training is a 3-stage programming system that uses different heart rate training zones. Remember, zone 1, zone 2, and zone 3, know the percentages of heart rate max for those. Bullet point 3, circuit training programs consist of a series of resistance training exercises that an individual performs one after the other with minimal rest, thus allowing for comparable fitness results in a shorter time period, like we just actually finished going over. And because movement is involved, it is vital to monitor the kinetic chain checkpoints with clients who are performing cardiorespiratory activity. So they didn't go over that too much, but like I said kind of earlier, when your clients have any sort of muscle imbalances with the activities that they perform, especially cardiorespiratory activities, it's really important to address those so they don't injure themselves. Because if someone was to run with very externally rotated feet, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the medial side of their knee and potentially could create like a knees cave in or tight calves or tight peroneals and potentially create IT band syndrome where they have pain in their lateral knee or even low back pain and different stuff like that. So definitely brush up on your assessments and understand during the walk or during every sort of every movement what kinetic chain checkpoints you need to check in order to make sure that your clients are moving efficiently, as I do stress the importance of that. So thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in the audiobook lecture next.